It's a very interesting one this week.
It is, isn't it?
I'm really loving how we are getting guests from all sorts of walks of life and all sorts of like different routes
or different avenues into performing.
It's really, really good, and it's really, I don't know, it's just good to
good
see
for us. We're broadening our horizons in theatre these days, aren't we? We're not just simply talking about theatre as this thing that happens in London or on a stage. Now it's TikTok, you know, and Instagram and Zoom lessons and Zoom concerts, and it's interesting. And we're managing to talk to a lot of people who've done all of these different things. So it's exciting and interesting to us as performers and people.
It is. It's really interesting as performers, and also just to see. I think for people listening, and if there's any younger listeners, excuse me, and if there's any younger listeners out there, you know, it's great to kind of hear the different, just the different ways that you can get into the industry, and also particularly on this one. Kind of, I don't know what I'm trying to say here because I coughed.
Okay. Here's Hannah.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show.
Correct. You almost paused there as if to say you'd forgotten the name of the show then. You went, no, welcome to no, the... It, but it turned out to
I
be
mean,
a dramatic
pause.
I mean,
I'm bad with names, but I'm not that bad yet. I mean, that would be worrying, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be.
Lockdown hasn't got to me that badly yet. Mm. Hi, everyone. We have... this week, we're doing an incredible show, and we've got to accompany the incredible show an incredible guest. A TikTok sensation,
Hannah Lowther.
Oh my god, that was so dramatic! I love it. Hi.
Hello.
Did you how do you feel about me saying TikTok sensation? How's
oh
that?
My gosh, did you see my face? It's quite crazy, but I'm loving it. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, we always start with kind of how's your lockdown been, but I mean, your lockdown looks like it's been absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Sort of year and a half for you.
It's been pretty mad. I'm lucky though. I'm lucky that I've been able to keep busy and stay in work because obviously when the lockdown started in March last year, over a year ago, when it started, I was auditioning for things in London and I was working part-time in a few different places and teaching. Obviously, all of that stopped. So I was like, okay, what isn't going to stop? Working in a shop. So I went and got a job at Tesco, and it has been pretty non-stop for us retail workers in the pandemic. But yeah, I feel quite lucky actually that I've been able to keep busy, because I'm hearing stories with my friends who have been on furlough basically all year. And it's just driving them insane. They're like, oh, what a waste of a year and all that. So, yeah, I do feel lucky.
So did you work in the Tesco before, or did you get that? You started that during lockdown?
No, so I started at Tesco March last year. So just when it hit.
Yeah. There was quite a lot of, I saw kind of, you know, musical or just theatre-y people kind of decided to go and work at supermarkets. It was pretty...
Yeah.
Which is pretty great.
Well, we were me and all my friends were all on like looking on Indeed and stuff, and it was like, okay, could I be a forklift driver? Maybe I could try. But I know people who have gone and they've been like, they're like delivery drivers. They're trying to do whatever they can. So it has been a pretty mad year. And then I started with the TikTok stuff. I started sort of shortly after. I didn't start as soon as I started.
What gave you the idea?
Well, basically, you know, when COVID first started and there was always someone stood at the door, like when there was a queue outside the shop and stuff, I was that person, like big security guard on the door. that was me. And I was just stood there and it was really boring, I'm not going to lie. So I was looking around at all these products, getting really hungry, but also getting inspiration. And I was, there was a, my first one that I thought of was, there was this kitchen towel that was called Regina, and I couldn't get it out of my head. My name is Regina George, and I would just sing it all day. I'm not joking. So I was like, right, I need to just get this out, and then hopefully it will stop. And it got quite a lot of views. I think at the time it got like 10,000 views, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've made it. Oh, what? But yeah, and then I was just consistent with it. And yeah, my colleagues did think I was a little bit crazy at the start, but yeah, they're pretty used to it now, to be honest.
So was that your first post? Like, had you had it? Did you have like a TikTok account before that you just kind of like your mates were just sort of looking at, and that was the first one that blew up, or was that actually the first thing you put on?
I had. There was like a few videos from before that, but I'd never filmed in the store. I think that's what what made it do quite well at the start, was that people were like, what, she's like TikToking in the store? And it probably is a bit cheeky, but I keep saying, like, I keep everything really positive, I don't talk bad about the shop, so they can't really, it's free advertising for them, so they can't really
they must, like, you're literally picking up their products and singing about them.
Yeah.
In the middle of Tesco. They must love it.
I'm waiting for the call. I'm not going to lie. I'm waiting for the call for them to be like, right, can we pay you to do an actual advert now on the telly? I would love that. But it's not happened yet. So I'm just going to carry on.
You've got, I think, I don't know, the last time I checked, you had 150,000 followers?
172. just to get that correct. No, I'm joking.
Blimey.
Yeah, and before when we messaged you about the show, I think you won like 90,000. So that's like,
it's shot up recently, yeah.
And it's just such a because our brains go, or this one person in a sea of incredible comments has said this thing, and I don't know why, but we seem to like get hung up on it. Yeah, I think it's really important to remember that, you know, you've brought like so much joy to all these people over the lockdown. Like, that's why we got in contact with you, because we just absolutely loved your videos. Mm. We just thought they were hilarious.
Yeah, I think that lots of people, I try and explain to people that stagey people, I know some people don't like that word, but I'm like, yeah, I'm stagey, I don't care. Stagey people, a lot of us are like this. And it's like, nobody knows, it's like when people don't know someone who's stagey, and then someone comes along, they're like, oh, okay, like, that's a bit weird. But for us, like, this is normal. Like, all of my friends at college are as outgoing and as, like, crazy as I am. But you don't quite see it if they're not, like, posting about it. And I think I was lucky that it got picked up. And actually, Rylan helped me in a way, because he shared one of the videos on Twitter.
Really?
Because... basically, long story short, Supermarket Sweet that he presents is sponsored by Tesco. One of his people on his fan page sent him, it wasn't me, all right, sent him my video. It definitely wasn't me. One of these people sent him my video, and he shared it on Twitter, like, this is me at work, lol. Because obviously I was doing a backstage tour of Tesco, like it was a theatre. Mm-hmm. And then it got picked up by ITV, and it hit all the news channels, and I was interviewed. This is all in September, like the week of my birthday as well. It's the most overwhelming week ever. I was like, oh my God. I just need to sit in a dark room for a day and just not talk about myself for one day. But no, it was, so he massively helped me sort of get that started, and then obviously I made a video like how I got on national news, and just gotta milk it for all it's worth.
How do you come up, I mean it's maybe an impossible question to answer, but how do you come up with content, because you're literally posting every day basically?
Oh my gosh. Well, at the start it was like every few days, sort of three times a week, and then as the following started to grow, I was like, right, I need to start like focusing on this properly. And there's some weeks I just have idea after idea. I think I've learned so much about myself as a person, because I didn't realize I was this creative. Like I didn't realize that I had this many ideas in my head. So it's been really nice actually to learn a bit about myself. But some weeks I have loads of ideas, and then some weeks I can't think of anything worse than sitting down and writing lyrics to, you know, a mock parody song. I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. So when I do have the motivation, I just try and film as much as I can, and then I save it up, actually, I got caught out because I did one video. It was the ABBA Tesco video. I don't know if you've seen that one. But they, I filmed it and I posted it on Instagram basically straight away because I try and keep them like sort of separate but sort of the same. And I was like, oh, I'll post it on TikTok in a few, maybe in a few weeks when I've got nothing to post that day, because I had loads of ideas that week already. And it got to like 3 weeks later and I posted the video. And it was chicken tikka, tell me what's wrong. And someone said, said, I hope this chicken tikka is not for sale because it's out of date. They checked the date of the curry and it was like the 16th of March. And I posted it on like the 30th of March or something. And I was like, my God, I've been caught out. But yeah, people, they didn't mind, but how funny.
To know you. So so Hannah, how did it all begin?
Let's start at the very beginning. Okay. So I have done musical theatre for my whole life, really. I obviously started at a local dance school, and then I started doing some shows, just like local, you know, like amateur productions and stuff. And my mum, obviously my notapushymum.com, went on notapushymum.com and was like, how can I get my daughter in something good? Something that's not going to make you want to fall asleep. And we found a lady who is the casting director for a load of shows, for the children's casting director. And my mum messaged her and all of that. And I got audition for The Sound of Music. So I went to the audition, got quite far, and I didn't get it. And my mum was like, we can only do this if you're not going to be emotional about it. I was like, yep, I'm fine.
Oh my god.
Like, a full-on
dance. Those emotions you're feeling, don't be on them.
Yeah, those feelings that you can feel, turn it off. Like a light switch.
I love it. Sorry. The references are pinging. I'm here for it.
Can't help it.
Please. We need more of it.
Okay, good. So I went back the next year and I got in. So I did The Sound of Music at the London Palladium. I played Brigitte von Trapp for like 9 months, I think it was, maybe slightly longer. So it was just when, because you know they did all those TV programs back in the day. It was like Find Maria.
How do you solve a problem like Maria?
Yeah, and I Do Anything and Over the Rainbow, all that. So it was just when Connie Fisher, who won that program, it was just when she was finishing and it was switching over to Summer Stralin, who they'd put into the show through a Hollyoaks.
It was like, I remember it.
Wait, that was written into Hollyoaks?
They put Summer Stralin in Hollyoaks and like wrote into the thing that she was going off to play Maria in The Sound of Music, and then she started playing Maria in The Sound of Music. But I was quite lucky because it was just moving over to her, and there was obviously massive press about it, like Hollyoaks star, even though we all know she's Summer Stralin, do you know what I mean? But we did all the press nights. My team was so lucky. Team Gryffindor. We did all the press nights. We did, they like filmed the whole show. So we've got loads of like cool videos and stuff like that. So we were actually very lucky that we had that crossover when summer started. And then after that, they always say like once you're in, when you're a child, that they really like hate trying to find new kids and auditioning and stuff. So once they know that you're reliable and you can do it, they want to put you in as much as they can, exploit you as much as, no, I'm kidding. we were paid a great wage for a 9-year-old. But I then went into Oliver when it opened. So I was really lucky that I got all these like openings. And it was just, so when was it? 2000 and something. That's really helpful.
9 or 10, as in Oliver.
Yeah. Oliver.
Yeah, it opened in 2009, I think. 2009
or 10, yeah. And it was the programme again, I Do Anything, where Jodie Prenger, yes. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my God, how embarrassing is that?
Jodie Prenger.
Jodie Prenger, or Prenger, where she won and Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean was in it, and it was very exciting. And it was obviously Oliver, three teams worth of kids, plus a few extra kids as well that come in just for the opening number. It was crazy, but an obviously amazing experience. And then that led on to, I feel like this is like my full CV. I'm just giving you my CV.
No, it's great. We asked for it.
Okay, yeah, you asked for it. So, and then I joined the UK tour of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang as Jemima.
You did them all.
Yeah,
done them all.
I mean, you've literally been. Wow. Yeah.
If there was like a checklist of all the shows you could be in as a kid, you've kind of just like been through them all.
And the only one, not the only one, but one that, you know, I've never quite got over is once I'd finished Chitty, Matilda was just starting, you know how it started in Stratford, and then it came over to the West End, and I got really far, but I didn't get it. And I was like, my mum's like, you're just too tall, you're just too tall. And I was like, Mum, but no, it was. Then I went to school like a normal child, thankfully, got an education, and then shortly forgot how to do anything and could only say 5, 6, 7, 8 because I started at Italia Conti Art Centre for 3 years. So I actually went straight after school. So I was 16 when I started there, and like turned 17 just as I started, and graduated there in 2017. Had a year of trying to make it. And then was like, actually, I want some proper musical theatre training. I'm not saying it wasn't that at Italia Conti, but it was performing arts. So we did lots of dance, and I was very grateful for that, obviously, because it really helped my dance, bring that up. But I really wanted that musical, pure, like cheesy musical theatre, cheese on toast training. And I definitely got a bit of that at LSMT. So I had an amazing year at the Lyons School of Musical Theatre. Honestly, it was the best year, and I don't just say that. I think people are like, do they pay you to say that? I'm like, no, they don't. Like, I paid to go there. And it was the best year. Like, it just really helped me piece everything together. I think because I started Conti's so young, it, my head wasn't quite in the game. Whereas I was 21 when I went to LSMT, and it's only a year course, so I really did have to focus. And then obviously I graduated there, and then coronavirus.
This week's letter, as you can read from the title, is, of course, look at that control. Goodness me.
Goodness,
which, of course, as you can see from the title, is Oliver.
Oliver. Never before.
I was on the Millennium Bridge. Is it the Millennium Bridge?
The wobbly one. Yeah.
And I was walking down today, and I had Consider Yourself on. I just felt great. The sun was out. I was like, consider yourself. And these are noise cancelling, so I was actually like properly melting it. All these tourists were like, what? Is London, like, are we in Victoria,
like,
London?
Is like, that actually Fagin? Like, what's going on?
They were like, oh my God, it's just like the film. But Geddy, you're...
Oh gosh.
Geddy, yeah, you're going to give us a 45-second summary of the plot.
Okay. Yeah, we are. I'm going to try. We're going to try. Basically, the only problem I've got with it is the names. I just forgotten all of the names of these people in this show. I remember the plot, but I don't remember the names, so that's where I'm going to slip up.
Go on, Geddy. I've got the timer.
Have you?
All set. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want me to count you down?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, ready? 3, 2.
The show begins in a workhouse. The boys hate their food and dream of better. Oliver wants more, though, and doesn't get it. Mr. Bumble and Widow Corny decide to sell him to the undertaker, who doesn't treat him very nicely. The next day, there's a kerfuffle, and Oliver escapes to London, where he meets the artful Dodger. Dodger invites him to Fagin's lair, who makes Oliver aware that they are all criminals. The next day, the boys try to rob a rich man, Mr. Brownlow, but when they get caught, they run and leave Oliver to be arrested. Scared he'll betray the gang, Fagin and Bill Sykes plan to abduct Oliver from Brownlow's house. The next morning, Bill and Nancy do so. Concurrently, Widow Corny and Mr. Bumble find out that Oliver may be rich due to a gold locket his mother owned and go to London to find him, and they get to Mr. Brownlow's house. Once he realises that they are only interested in the boy for wealth, Brownlow throws them out but recognises the woman's picture in the locket to be his niece, meaning Oliver is his grandnephew. Nancy tried to plan to get Oliver back to Brownlow but is found out and beaten to death by Sykes. There is a quick chase and search where a policeman shoots Sykes and the other grabs Oliver and returns him to Brownlow, whilst Fagin decides to straighten out his life for good.
Okay, well that was 1 minute and 2 seconds, more or less. So that was okay.
I didn't actually remember the ending there.
This is the thing, like out of nowhere in Act 2, there is just this whole thing about the golden locket, which just confuses everything. And then suddenly Oliver's a rich boy because of it, and there's inheritance involved. And
it starts off strong, and then the end, no one really cares about the end, do they? But once Nancy's dead, I was like, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
What's the point?
I thought that was the... Oh, dear. I forgot. Yeah.
There is a happy ending.
The last image I've got in my head is Bill Sykes hanging from the rafters.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the last thing I always remember as a kid watching that and going, blimey, that's pretty graphic.
And he has that really scary pit bull dog. And I remember, obviously, they had a real dog in the show, and I used to be terrified. Was it a bulldog? Was it a pit bull?
It's a terrier, I think, in the show. I don't know what it was in your... But it's meant to be a terrier.
It was a scary-looking dog. And I used to be terrified of dogs, so that was always interesting.
I bet.
Can I ask what happens to the other boys?
In Fagin's gang, you mean?
Yeah, what is them?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe we need a spin-off.
Because I've always thought, why Oliver? Because those boys are there, they're hustling, they take him in.
Well, Oliver gets...
And then he just gets...
Oliver is chosen at the end because of this gold locket. You know, the Mr... what's his name?
Brownlow.
The guy, the Mr. Bumble.
Who's Mr. Brownlow? Don't make that up.
Mr. Brownlow's the one that looks after him after he's been in the police. He gets arrested. Yeah. It's when Mr. Bumble and Widow Corny come back down to London to try and find him because of this gold locket.
Right,
And then Mr. Salisbury then looks after him because it's like, oh, you know, he's clearly been in a gang and someone else is looking, and all they want is his money, so I'm going to look after him and I don't need his money because I'm rich and it doesn't matter. So that's why I guess Oliver is chosen at the end.
Yeah.
Really. But I think it's interesting, what I was going to say about the plot was like the interesting thing about like, there was when Charles Dickens wrote it, there's like quite anti-Semitic views about Fagin because like, he basically is like saying, you know, the one Jewish character in it was just like a pickpocket and was a, you know, criminal, et cetera, et cetera.
And a money grabber. That's what they said.
Yeah. And then, you know, Lionel Bart, who is a Jew, kind of is a lot more sympathetic towards that, you know, and then it doesn't really kind of make Fagin look evil, rather just, you know, a man who kind of life just got on the wrong side of life, but actually has a lot of caring attributes. And then obviously
he learned to love Fagin.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, had Jewish actors play him at the beginning. Like Ron Moody was a Jew and played him for ages. Yeah. You know, so it's quite interesting that he did that.
3 years?
Oh, I don't know. Longer,
he
wasn't
played,
it?
He went to
end?
Broadway, didn't he?
Yeah, he went to Broadway and he did it on the tour as well. He did it on the first American tour as well.
Bloody loved it.
Well, did you see that?
That was a bit of Fagin.
I mean, a bit of Fagin knowledge here. That I think Michael Caine was up for it.
Yes, Michael Caine. And he said he cried for a week.
Because he didn't get it.
What, between him and Rowan Atkinson?
No.
Back in the day, in the original.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, he'd have been there. Oh, to do it.
I mean, Michael Caine being in your version would have been something else, though. That would have been
Can you imagine?
Crazy. But yeah, he didn't get it back in the day. It was between...
Who was Michael Caine up for?
Fagin.
Danny... Was that? Oh, I thought it was Bill Sykes.
Oh, no, sorry, Bill Sykes. You're right. No, you're right. Bill Sykes, yeah. Didn't get it. And he cried for a week. I know, right? There you go.
I mean, gosh.
Bill Sykes is a scary, scary character.
Yeah, I can see Michael Caine playing him.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
I think that was probably the first villain that I ever actually hated. You know when you go and watch a show and the baddie, you actually, like, you hate them, and it gets to the bowels and you want to clap because you know it's not a pantomime and you're not supposed to boo, but you really want to boo. Yeah. You're like, no, I don't like you.
Yeah.
You could get over that. But I remember he was so scary. Even, I think, the actor who played it when we did it, he used to play off the fact that we were all a little bit scared of his character. And when he had his dog, he'd always be like, oh, like, you know, like, you know what I did?
It was your one. It was
Bo Burnham Gorman.
Torchwood fame.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, the list of people who've been
iconic,
in it is crazy.
It's so iconic, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
It's just so iconic, because not only is it Charles Dickens, which, as we established earlier, wrote the book, but, like, it's just one of those songs. It's just like, you know, I'm walking down the Millennium Bridge or whatever, singing that song. I guarantee every one of those tourists, even though some of them may not speak English, know what that song is.
You're making that claim again, are you? He made a claim when we did Beauty and the Beast. He made a claim that if you sung, what song was it? Gaston.
Taylor's oldest.
It was Gaston and Beauty and the Beast. Both of those songs. He said if you sung those songs.
It's Beauty and the Beast.
If you sung that song in a pub, he said that people would sing along with you. And I was like,
I think so.
I'm sure about that. Depends what pub you're in.
Taylor's oldest time.
But, I'm not sure about Beauty and the Beast, but I think Oliver, definitely.
Yeah.
I was just me.
I back you more on Oliver, definitely. If you were cast in it, who would you want to be cast in it? If it were to be done now?
Well, I know I said earlier that Bette was a bit irrelevant, but I probably would be Bette. She's just left
and
right. No, I probably would want to be Bette. I like the role of Nancy. I don't know if I'd be a Nancy. I think when I did it, obviously it was Jodie Prenger, and she's got like this big booming voice, and I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I'd be a Nancy. I don't know if I could.
Well,
take
you never know. You never know.
I wouldn't turn it down. I wouldn't turn it down.
Anyone listening, yeah. Cameron, if you're listening, Hannah won't turn down the role of Nancy.
Just a little note. I'll literally be anything. I'll be Mr. Bumble.
Would you do anything, though?
What do you mean?
What do you mean? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's time for this week's quiz. This week's quiz is called I'd Do Anything to Get the Answer Right.
Now, Hannah, you're basically what you're competing for is, of course, a coveted show mug, which I'm sure you just can't.
I'm dying for a show mug, so I've got my game face on.
But inside the show mug, it will also be a ticket to a show of your choice.
Oh my gosh.
Which we will pay for.
So good. Okay. So
that's actually not bad. See, now I love how the show mug, you were like, oh, now, yeah, I can see.
I'm rolling my sleeves out, ready to go.
Here we go. I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
So you're going to have 90 seconds to basically answer as many questions as possible. How are you feeling, Hannah?
I'm feeling a bit nervous, not gonna lie. I've got sweat kits.
Yeah, it was the mention of the ticket, mate. I think changed everything. It's changed everything.
Changed the game.
Yeah. All
right.
Yes.
3, 2, 1.
Who wrote Oliver?
Lionel Bart.
Who wrote Oliver Twist, the book/story?
Charles Dickens.
Where is Oliver set?
London, I think.
Did the show open on Broadway or the West End first?
The West End?
In what year?
1983.
Which theatre did it open in on the West End?
Originally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That theatre all your name? I don't know.
How many Tony nominations did it receive?
10.
How many Tonys did it win?
3.
Who produced the 2009 show?
Cameron McIntosh. Oi, oi.
Who played Fagin in the 2009 production?
Rowan Atkinson.
Which song ends Act 1?
Oh, that's a tough one. Consider Yourself. No, it's not. I don't know. Consider Yourself.
And how many years did the first production run for on the West End?
2 years.
Okay.
I did really well.
No, you did really well.
I mean,
you did really well.
Quite remarkable.
That was a fire round.
I guess most of those.
Like,
I'm not gonna lie.
That was just lasering. Or just answer and answer and answer.
I can't tell if it's a sarcasm or. Really?
It's not. I promise you, it's not.
Okay. Wow. I'm proud.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, you got 8.
8?
Yeah, that's really good.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Wow. Where does that put Hannah on the leaderboard? I've forgotten.
I'm just about to tell you.
Because I tell you what, if we have, because I feel like it might be a joint situation. I feel like someone else got 8 at some point.
So Joel Montague is currently on 9. Lucas Rush is on 8. So you're joint second.
Okay.
You're joint second.
We're gonna have to do a tie break, I feel, because we might have to start dishing out second and third prizes at this
point.
Well,
I did also say the other day that I think the top 3 get a mark.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
You did say that. As if we're made of money.
I'll hold you to that.
Everyone prizes. Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
That was really, really well done. Amazing.
Thank you. That was so fun.
Yeah.
Shall we look at the ones?
Yeah, let's go through the answers, shall we?
Them?
So, you've got Smashed, who wrote the musical, Lionel Bart. Who wrote the Oliver Twist? Charles Dickens. London. West End. I mean, smashing it all over the place. And then the first one was, what year did it open? I think you said 1983, I think, was it something like that?
Yeah, it might have been well off there.
Yeah, it opened in 1960.
Wow, that is
very old. Yeah, 61 years old now. Blimey, that's crazy, isn't it?
And then it opened in the Noel Coward.
Oh, okay.
I think it's called the new theatre before. But anyway, yeah, so opened in the Noel Coward. But it actually was first put on in the Wimbledon Theatre.
Oh,
it started just outside the West End. How many Tony nominations did it receive? So we accepted either one either side. So you said 10. It's actually 9. Tonys.
I mean,
now I don't know if anyone knows this. When did the Oliviers become a thing? Because I didn't see it was nominated for anything.
1976, bro.
What else have we got? Yeah, Cameron McIntosh, producer, won 3 Tonys.
Yeah, you smashed
score,
it.
Scenic.
Was that right?
Yeah, you were right.
3 Tonys.
Wow.
I definitely
have seen that on. In my brain, like in the deep, dark depths of my brain, that must have been there.
In your stagey mind palace.
Yeah, I don't know where it lives. Probably in like my big toe or something. All of the stagey information lives in my big toe. When I need it, I'm like, wow.
It was impressive.
I meet every day.
What did it win Tony's for, Tom?
Original score, which we'll talk about in a minute. Scenic design. Scenic design.
Quite clever.
Yeah, well, for your one, apparently they designed a whole new, like, cobbled street for the bottom of the stage.
Yes.
Apparently. It looks amazing. I was looking up loads of photos and it looks, like, incredible.
Yeah,
I remember there was, like, the bit that you go under the stage. What's it called? The underpass, I don't know. Had the set under, so they would go and they would sit in there, and then the set would come up from the floor. I remember it was like mind blowing.
Really?
Yeah, like the floor of the stage like this would like just rise, and then the whole of Fagin's den was there. It was very clever, and they'd all like come up like clinging onto the upstairs and stuff. It was really cool. Actually.
Oh, that's so cool.
And being really jealous of like Fagin's gang that got to go on there. And as a workhouse kid, didn't get a single thing.
Well, also, just being able to like work that closely with Rowan Atkinson. Oh my God. Like, especially at that age, because that's like Mr. Bean, like prime time.
Prime time, yeah. I can't say I wasn't really in much with him, so I don't know. I remember where we had to wait to go on for one of our scenes was right near his dressing room, and we always used to be like, "I dare you to knock! I dare you to knock!" and yeah, God, good times. No, but he was nice. Obviously, as a child, you're expecting it to be Mr. Bean, and then you're like, "Oh wait, he's an actor. He's not actually Mr. Bean." So I remember always being like, "Why isn't he funny in real life?" But he is, obviously. He's an actor. Oh, am I allowed to say that? Probably not.
Yeah, you can say it.
But you know when someone's got a really funny character and then in real life that you're like, oh, so they're not like putting matchsticks in their eyeballs in real life. Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mr. Bean doesn't actually talk, does he? He just like...
No, he just makes noises.
Weird, like, noises.
Yeah, but he didn't. He actually spoke in real life. I was like, wow.
So I've got the song that ends Act One, Be Back Soon.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Slash The Robbery.
Yeah.
The Robbery is incidental music, though, from what I'm remembering.
Yeah, so that's why I just sort of put that as a little bracket.
What I remember is and then Google By opens Act Two. That was like the big
number.
And in Act One, we all had like grease in our hair because for the workhouse, we had to have loads of like grease in our hair. And I remember they put Who Will Buy in Act Two and we were like, had to spend loads of time like getting the grease out of our hair so we look like pretty little schoolgirls.
Oh really?
Yeah, in like these yellow dresses. Good times, good times.
It ran the first production ran for 6 years and it broke the record for a London musical at the time. So the longest running.
Yeah, but 6 years back then, that would have felt like forever.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Did I say
2,618, which is like crazy. It's kind of weird. I've said this before, but we think like a successful show isn't really successful until it's like a Wicked or a Les Mis or something. But actually, 6 years of a show is the amount of shows that come and go in like 4 months.
Yeah,
or a year tops. Yeah.
What's your favourite song and why?
So shall we move on to what's your favourite song and why?
Okay. Great. From the show?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you can tell us what your favourite song in musical theatre is and why as well.
Yeah.
If you like.
Yeah, why not?
But definitely from Oliver.
Should we do both? That's actually quite...
Well, actually my favourite song in musical links with the embarrassing stage fright section.
You can tell us later then. And you can stick to Oliver now.
Okay, so my favourite song in Oliver has got to be Consider Yourself. I know it's a classic, but it is just, it's like the title song of the show, even though it's not. So I mean, everyone knows it. It's fun. And I remember the whole cast was in it. So it's just a really fun number. And not so much else to say.
I missed that. Did they bring you on? As well, like all the kids on for that.
Yeah, we were all in that. And the stage was huge. I remember it was really like long. Yeah. The last time I set foot on a West End stage. <when I was 10. laughs> no, but it was really long. So yeah. Oh, it's arbitrary. We were all in it and it was just a big, high energy number. Everyone knows it. Yeah, it was really good.
That song is it does what I think Tom touched on earlier. It's like you both touched on earlier, which is like in the 60s, I suppose, you know, that is kind of what people might have seen like London being like, you know, kids and cockneys and, you know, just like even song Oompa-pa, you know, that's just what people do in London pubs. And I think it's one thing that the score does really well is just like it does really evoke all of those feelings all the time. You do feel like you were just like buying into that British that London stereotype at all times.
Yeah,
definitely. Tom, what is your favorite? Is it your favorite too?
Mine's actually, this is so sad. I used to sing. So sad. I used to sing "Got a Pickle Pocket Tattoo" at school, and I'd like, I'd like take things out my mate's pockets. This is like when I was like, this isn't even that young, by the way.
Oh, is that why you were so doing like, it last week? I thought that was weird.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. This is
yeah. That was weird.
This is actually last week. Yeah. no, yeah. I think "Got to Pick a Pocket or Two" is just the if I think of the show, I actually that's where my brain goes to, because I remember watching it as a kid and just seeing all the set pieces and, you know, with the hanky and whatever, and mm-hmm. I remember just being like, oh my god, this is so cool! I want to be in this gang and I want to go about London and take people's stuff out of their pocket. Hence why I did it in school. But yeah, I just think it's a brilliant song. Also, it's just perfect. It's like you've got "Consider Yourself" obviously brings you into it all, and then Fagin's like first song, it just sums him up so perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
The way he
reviewing.
Oh yeah,
sorry.
Go on.
No, I was gonna say reviewing the situation, but that's not.
Oh, what a song that is.
Yeah. When you think about it, though, every song in Oliver, pretty much every song in Oliver, is like a banger. Maybe they wouldn't have called it a banger in the day, but I would say it's a banger. We've got "Food, Glorious Food." "I'd Do Anything." "It's a Fine Life." Do you remember that one? "It's a Fine Life." "Got to Pick a Pocket or Two." "Consider Yourself." "Who Will Buy?" Like, they're all bangers. And it's not often that you get a show that's got loads of songs like that that are really like recognisable big numbers.
Yeah. And you haven't even mentioned my favourite. You haven't even mentioned my favourite in that list there.
"Where Is Love?"
No.
Oh, where? Sorry.
"As Long As He Needs Me." What song. I mean, honestly, yeah, I love that song. Like, I think I could cry to that song now, I think, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
It's on that last one, though, when she goes, you know, "I won't be betray his trust." I'm just like, oh.
"I won't betray."
Yeah, like, exactly. Just even thinking about it just is like, oh, it's because it's one of those. Obviously, I love a ballad. It's very clear from this podcast that I love a ballad. But there is just something with that song where it's just like, you know, everyone in the audience is like, just go. Don't do it. And then that moment when she does say, "I won't betray his," it is like the only moment where it's like the fourth wall is gone. And she's talking to all of us. I'm like, whole song we've been trying to tell her, don't do it. And she's like, no, I'm going to do it, because that's what love is. It's just like, yeah, okay, fine. And you go, yeah, all right,
lost.
It's just amazing.
And that's why everyone gets so sad when she finally, you know, gets the chop, because of that song, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So Tom normally does this, but I've commandeered it. You've made it to the final section of the show. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for coming along for the ride. So yeah, stage frights. What's happened? What's gone on?
Well, I've definitely got a few cringy. I mean, I don't really get cringed out anymore by things, just after this whole year of posting videos of myself on the internet for everyone to see. But before this, I've definitely got some audition stories that almost made me die of embarrassment. One of them being, so I was auditioning for a charity performance of a show, but it was at the Adelphi Theatre. And the original audition happened. And this was the original audition. And I was like, okay, I'll put myself forward as a singer. And I wore this like little yellow play suit, but it was like a skirt, so it looked like a skirt, but it was shorts. Sorry, I assume that you know what a skirt is. and it was bright yellow. It was literally like the sun. I still got it. I'm too scared to wear it. It's like bad luck now. And I was singing my favourite ever musical theatre song to sing, "Show Off" from The Drowsy Chaperone.
Ooh.
"I don't wanna show off no more." You know that one?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know that one? Just a little taste of that. So I was singing that, and there's a bit in it where I've made a cut. It was like my go-to audition song. There was a cut where I've got like basically 8 counts to like do a kick or like do something that's showing off, because obviously the whole song's about that. And I've practiced it loads. I did it in all of my agent auditions. And it goes, you'll never see this. And I go, ball change, whack, never see this, boom. And like, just like doing all these moves. And I always just nailed it. My right leg kick was great. And this audition happened to be at a school. It was like in a school, in one of the like music practice rooms. And I'd never tried it on carpet before. And this was the first time, and I didn't have time to practice before. I didn't even really think about it, and I was wearing heels, obviously. So I went, you'll never see. I was smashing it. I mean, I don't often say that, but I was smashing it. I was, you know, when you're just like really in it, you'll never see this. Ball change flat on my face, and like my leg went up and my other leg just like went this way. Sorry, I know it's a podcast, so people can't see that. But basically, my legs went the opposite way, and I just fell flat on the floor. And it was such a small little audition room, obviously pre-COVID times. And there were three people on the panel, and they all just went like really loudly. And,
oh no!
And the pianist, like, you know, when they like put their fingers down on the keys like really quickly, like obviously was shocked as well because it made a massive noise. But he carried on. I sort of looked over, like, carry on, the show must go on. So I carried on, and I remember, you'll never see this, fell over, never see this. I was standing up, and obviously I was wearing a skirt. Luckily, it wasn't a dress, and my bum was just completely in their faces. It was the most embarrassing moment. And I went, and then I carried on. I carried on.
Well done. And, well, I mean, the song is called Show Off, so I mean.
Well, yeah, and I think maybe they thought I planned it, but I really hadn't. And can you imagine in this bright yellow jumpsuit of me just on the floor, like, oh, it was, I looked like the sun. Like, it was bad. But I got a recall, so I think.
Hey! Oh, there we go.
Bad for me. I think they were like, oh God, bless her.
Give her a
Give
her another go. This time we won't give her carpet. We'll give her a different floor.
Yeah, I did it on wood floor the next time, but I remember like finishing it off and the first thing they said was, are you okay? And I was like, well, that was entertaining, wasn't it? Oh God. You know when you replay a moment in your head over and over again and you're like, why did I do that?
Got many of those.
But hey. Life goes on, and it's a funny memory. So it's probably the worst.
And you got a recall.
And you got a recall. So
that is pretty.
So it's a stage fright with a good ending.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Thanks. You're making me feel better about it.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank
that
you.
That was so good. Thank you. I mean, you've given us an hour and 25 minutes of your time, and we really, really. Appreciate it. It was so lovely to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for having me on. Like I said, I was literally like, I can't believe that you want to speak to me and you've got all these like amazing names. So yeah, I am really grateful.
I wasn't just saying it. We were like seeing how busy you were and we were like, we just thought we'd double check, but we really appreciate you making time for this because, you know, the fact that you're making a video a day is just like,
And the fact that you're making time for us is very kind. And, you know, why would they want to get me on? But, you know, theatre has so many different stories. People have very different stories about how they do theatre, why they do theatre. And at the moment you're doing something genuinely very different to a lot of performers, and that's interesting, and there'll be loads of people listening and your followers hopefully listening, or when they watch you on TikTok, you know, as you said earlier, like, it's an inspiration to them, because actually even in the time of COVID a performer has gone out and used what they've got in a different way, and that's amazing. And so of course that's amazing to us as performers and musical theatre fans. You know, that's interesting, so of course we wanted to speak to you, you know, so thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Wow, what an episode, what a guest. So interesting. I know we say that every week, and it is actually true for everyone. But just because TikTok's like this new thing, even like I'm sort of half on it.
I don't understand it. I've watched loads of videos from TikTok, but I don't have an account because I just simply don't understand it. I'm too old. I've got to the point now. We've made a generational jump between social media apps.
Can you make it sound like we're like old men?
I'm not. I'm making myself sound like an old man.
But no, yeah, I totally get what you mean. I mean, I think it's so interesting. I mean, it's incredible that, you know, nowadays you can make a video in Tesco, pop it online, not even think twice about it, and a year later you've got, you know, 100 and I think it was like 73,000 followers.
Yeah.
And you're working for like Donut Time doing their videos, and and you've got a job full time as a
social
media
influencer. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's awesome.
Well, it's just like being a performer, isn't it? One day you are in a room and you sing with a piano, and suddenly you're Hadley Fraser. You know?
Yeah,
because that's how it works.
Yeah. Let me try now. Oh no, still me. A shame.
Yeah, for a podcast that doesn't really work, that gag didn't
work.
No,
that was for you.
Oh, was that just really for me? Okay. Oh, thank you.
There was no noise either.
No, there wasn't. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It was just that was just for me. Well, I'm blessed. Thank you. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
But before we end this episode this week, I want to say well done, Tom, for your musical Serial Cafe being shortlisted for the Stiles and Drew Prize.
I'm kidding. You flatter me. No, thank you, mate. I mean, it's, you know, I've been working on this show for like 4 years now, almost. Mm. So it was really great.
I have been with you many a time in the picture house in Piccadilly before COVID, where you and Jake were writing it. And just
yes. Yeah.
Kind of meeting you post-writing days. And
2 a.m. like last minute lyric changes and scene changes. Yeah. And yeah, it's been, we kind of changed the story up, and it's really, it's really exciting. And we're just happy that, it just feels really good when you put that much effort in to see a little bit of recognition for it.
Yeah, paying off. You know? As I said, I meant what I said in my tweet. You know, it is the very least you deserve from the amount of work that you've been putting in.
Well, thank you. I'm actually, they can't see I'm actually blushing. Thanks, man. That is very kind. Very kind. I appreciate it.
Well, and I appreciate you, Tom Ling.
God. You know, I don't know what to say. You know, I'm just like,
no, I know. You don't know what to say because someone's saying nice things to you. And it's me saying nice things to you.
Yeah,
so.
I know, which is so alien. but yeah, so if you enjoyed the show, thank you. But seriously, you know, guys, if you did enjoy the show, you can follow us on @show_show_pod. That's on Instagram and Twitter.
And, not yet TikTok, but watch this
not
space.
Yet TikTok, but who knows? Who knows? Maybe one day. Maybe I'll.
Maybe one day I'll read the TikTok for Dummies book.
Yeah.
And I will make sure we get on it somehow.
Yeah. And if you're listening on any podcast platforms that you can rate us on, please give us a 5-star review. That'd be really, really helpful. And contact us at showshowpod@gmail.com. If you've got any stage frights, any recommendations for shows, or just fancy a chat, we're here for you. Well, Getty's just staring at me.
I am. I think it's because it's every week whenever you go off on those, I just watch you in awe, just watching you go along on these little stories you're telling yourself and the people listening about our contact details. It's sweet, really.
I've been Tom.
And I've been Geddy.
And that
was Oliver.
Goodbye.
Cheerio, matey.